The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. The fourth Sunday in the Easter season is known as the Good Shepherd Sunday from all the three different cycles of readings that we have, because every year we'll have the gospel from John chapter 10, which is known as the Good Shepherd's gospel, because just after this passage, Jesus will say, "I am the Good Shepherd," although he's talking about the sheep and the shepherd and the relationship. And that's a pivot in our gospel readings during this Easter season. We started on Easter, we always hear about the empty tomb. Then the second and third Sundays of Easter, we have Jesus appearing to his disciples. Then on the fourth, now we switch to readings from John chapter 10 as of today. And the next two Sundays will be from John chapter 14 as we begin to hear about the Holy Spirit and Jesus' promise of sending the Holy Spirit as we prepare to celebrate Pentecost, the end of the Easter season. So this is kind of how the readings are set up for us during Easter. But I'd like to go back to that first reading today, where we hear about Peter proclaiming to a crowd of people that Jesus is Christ and Lord, that he's risen from the dead. That this Jesus, who was a good man, who worked great wonders, healed the sick, cared for sinners, healed the lepers. He was, you know, the friend of everyone, welcomed everyone, never said a bad word about anyone, never fought back, who freely gave up his life on the cross for all of us. Not just for the people at his time, but for all of us. And that's why Peter tells them, "The Christ you crucified," they were not the ones who crucified Jesus. They probably weren't maybe there even in Jerusalem. But all of us share in Jesus' death on the cross because he died for our sins, for my sins and your sins. And the one who died on the cross for us rose from the dead, and then he promises us eternal life. We condemned him to death, and yet when he rises, he doesn't come to judge us or to punish us or to take us to do anything but tell us, "Now you can have eternal life if you believe in me, if you go through the gate, and the gate is Jesus. He's the way for us to get to heaven." When you hear these words, does that touch your heart? Does that move your heart? You know, we're told in that first reading, when the people heard Peter and these words, they were cut to the heart. What does that mean, cut to the heart? I don't think we use that expression today. Cut to the heart. How do you react when you hear these words? When you realize that the one that we condemned to death, who died because of us, has risen and now wants us to have eternal life. He offers it freely. Does it tickle your heart? Does it move your heart? Do you react to it or just like, yay, the Lakers won the game last night by 40 points? Do we just move on? They were cut to the heart. And that's why they ask, what are we to do? They realize, I mean, it's not they realize their guilt, but this awesome, generous, unconditional offer from the person who died because of us. What are we to do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You become God's adopted children. You will share in that same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. Again, when we hear the word repent, how do we translate that in our minds? What does that say to us in our minds? I think a lot of times the word repent means, oh, I gotta say I'm sorry. If I did something wrong, I'll just tell God I'm sorry. Or I have to go to confession. That's repentance. That's not repentance. Repentance comes before we say to God, I'm sorry, and we know and expect God to forgive us our sins. Repenting is what we hear in that gospel about the relationship between Jesus, the shepherd, and his flock. How do the flock know who their shepherd is? They know his voice. They have to listen to his voice. The first step of repenting is, do we listen to the voice of Jesus? Do we take the time to listen to the voice of Jesus as we listen to whoever voice we listen to and pay attention to on the internet or on TV or with our friends? Are we listening to the voice of our good shepherd? Is he one of many voices, or we just don't listen at all? How do we listen to his voice today? Well, we have his words. Do we read his words during the week? Take a few minutes every day to listen what he's trying to tell us for that day that we're about to start or the day we ended? Do we pay attention when you're at our mass, when the word of God is proclaimed? When the last time we read a commentary on one of the gospels or joined a Bible study? Are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Because if we're not listening to his voice, then we're not following him. We're following some other shepherd, whoever that shepherd me and most be, and most of the time, that shepherd is us. We guide ourselves and we think that's enough. I am the shepherd, I'm the sheep, I'm all. Whose voice are you listening to? Is Jesus one of those voices? Is Jesus your number one voice that you listen to? The second part of repentance is not just we listen to the voice of Jesus and, you know, check the box, but are we starting to change our lives so we can do what Jesus, our good shepherd, is telling us? And to do this, we have to trust him. We have to be close to him, just like the sheep. If they stray too far from the shepherd, they're not going to hear his voice. We have to stay close to Jesus so we can hear his voice and say yes to what he's telling us. When we do this, then we've repented. Then the grace of baptism that we received will really be unleashed in us, and we'll see the Holy Spirit acting in our lives, just like happened to the apostles. You know, they were with Jesus for 3 years. They were close to Jesus. They heard his words. They heard that he told them he's got to go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise. And yet, it did not register. And they tried to get him not to do it. And when it finally happened and he rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe that he rose from the dead, although he told them. So you can be so close to Jesus, but yet still not listening to his words and putting it into action in your lives. Till finally, when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection and said, "Peace be with you," and he kept teaching them, explaining the scriptures for them as we heard last Sunday. When they got it, when they had that trust to say, "Yes, he is Christ and Lord," that's when they repented. And when they repented, they went out and proclaimed it to the whole world. This Christ is Savior and Lord. That's the sign of repentance. And yes, although we repent, we begin to hear the voice of Jesus, but we're just like the apostles. We're not going to always follow his voice, follow his directions. And that's why then we can go to confession to say, "I'm sorry." Because we're not doing it out of, we don't care about what Jesus said or he's not important to us. But a lot of times it's out of fear, it's out of weakness, whatever it is. That's the forgiveness of sins that we will receive. Because we know who Jesus is. We have the desire to follow his voice. But sometimes we fail. And just like he forgave the apostles for a great failure, they denied him, abandoned him, he will forgive us. But are we like the apostles proclaiming Jesus to the world as Christ and Savior? That's when we truly live as the flock of our good shepherd. This fourth Sunday also is known as Vocation Sunday. And usually with vocations, it's referring to priestly vocations, religious life, diaconate. If any of our men are thinking about this or women considering religious life, don't be afraid. Listen to the voice of our good shepherd. I've been a priest for 27 years, and these have been the best years of my life. Not because it's been easy, but because I know I'm listening to the good shepherd who called me to be a priest. Because I've always been with a community where I can see how the Holy Spirit is acting in the life of the people in that community as the Holy Spirit is acting here at Holy Family. But this is a specific vocation. Obviously, not everyone is called to be a priest. But there is a vocation that all of us are called to. All of us share with because of our baptism. And that's to be missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. To share with the world how the risen Lord is active in our lives. How has he blessed us? How he's given us strength when times were difficult. How he shared with us his wisdom to help us walk through difficult times in our life. That's the story that we have to tell to the world. That's what makes us missionary disciples and not just silent disciples. Jesus wants us to be missionary disciples, telling the world this great gift that we received so they can benefit from it themselves. And usually the people you're called to tell is those closest to you, your family, your friends, your loved ones. We need to ask ourselves the question, what am I going need to do? Just like the people asked Peter, what are we to do? Through this Easter season, we've been celebrating and talking about what Jesus has done for us. What are we to do, brothers and sisters? Maybe ask our good shepherd that question today and listen to his voice, what he's calling you to do. What's the next step that he wants you to do? You don't have to be afraid. Trust him. Let him lead you. And as his faithful disciple, follow in his footsteps.